Is it a duty structure?
We'll call a meeting to order, and we'll start out here with approval of the minutes. We have minutes from April 4th. And Representative David, would you approve those minutes?
So moved.
We have a motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. We have the minutes from April 19th. Representative Coles, will you approve those? We have a motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
April 20th minutes. Representative Knobloch, will you move those?
So moved.
Any motion, any, all in favor of the April 20th minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. April 21st, Representative Mallory, are you in favor of those minutes?
Of course.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, thank you. Tonight we have House File 4142, Representative Krenke, property tax rebate. Representative Krenke, would you like to take over?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move House File 4142 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Representative Krenke moves House File 4142 to be passed and moved to the Ways and Means Committee. Representative Krenke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The first thing I would like to do is I'd like to move the A-12 amendment, which would put the, this is a, essentially a technical amendment, would put the bill in proper order, which would like to have, would like to present the bill. So I'd move the A-12 amendment.
At this time, Representative Krenke is moving the A-12 amendment. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, Representative Krenke, the bill is in the order you like.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, House File 4142 provides a 10% rebate on 2006 property taxes payable by issuing, by having the Department of Revenue issue checks hopefully by October 1st. This rebate would be contingent on the Supreme Court upholding the health impact fee and thus having a sufficient amount of revenue in our forecast in order to send out these rebate property tax rebate checks. What the bill would do is require counties to provide the name of the homeowner, the address, and the amount of the 2006 property taxes, less any homeowner or property that would be previously delinquent, a 2005 or earlier delinquent in property tax payments. That information then would be entered by the Department of Revenue, and the Department of Finance would issue checks to individual property owners. As I said previously, the legislation calls for 10% of 2006 property tax paid. The rebate checks would go only to homesteaded property and to agricultural properties, the home garage in 1 acre. The total amount, as estimated, is $307.3 million. In the amendment that was adopted, in the A-12 amendment that was adopted, the rebate checks would not be subject to revenue recapture under Minnesota Statute 270A. The reason to exclude revenue recapture, two reasons. Number one, it would require the department to match Social Security numbers and that would complicate this process greatly. And number two is that it is my understanding the Department of Revenue does not believe that because these are homesteaded property owners, that there's a large amount of revenue recapture that would take place under this legislation. So the only other thing I would say is that in the A-12 amendment, that this payment would be considered a refund of taxes under Minnesota Statute 289A.50. Therefore, this would be there would not be no interaction with income taxes, nor would there, to my understanding, be any interaction with the PTR. With that, Mr. Chairman, I would stand for questions.
Are there any questions, Representative Kroenke?
Aye.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, where?
Representative Lynchetsky.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Kroenke, can you, I just asked Ms. Baker to hand me the part of the statute where we currently direct money, not when it's contingent on a court case, but when it's contingent on a surplus. And if I understand, it's 16A.152, the budget reserve and cash flow accounts is where we find it, and that lays out that first, if there's money, it will go to the cash flow account, so you get to 350, then the budget reserve, so you get to 653, then you pay back the schools, and then you do the property tax relief account, which I believe it was Governor Ventura who designed this account that we're now talking about here today with $317 million in it. Are you amending this part or of the statute and actually directing a flow of money, or are you saying that this is actually the language is contingent on the resolution of a court case?
Representative Kroenke.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Lynchetsky, on page 3 of the bill, subdivision 14, talks about the contingent upon resolution of the lawsuit that no property tax rebates must be paid under this section unless Minnesota Supreme Court reverses district court order dated December 30th, 2005. So this is money that is in the this is money that is in the tax relief account, 300 of the 317 million. This would take $307 million of that and rebate it directly to individual property owners. And again, as is stated in subdivision page 3, subdivision 14, only checks will go out if the Supreme Court reverses that district court decision. So I don't think we change anything in statute with regard to the budget reserve cash flow accounts or the repayment of the school aid shifts.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Lynchetsky.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Representative Kroenke, that's how I understood it as well, but I just wanted to be sure. Are you aware of another time I had asked Ms. Baker, and I kind of just sprung it on her, that we've had legislation that is contingent on resolution of a court case to have something done with state money?
Representative Kroenke.
And maybe staff would have an answer to that, but I'm just wondering.
I don't, to my knowledge, we've never had a legislation or rebates of this nature contingent on a court case, but I don't ever recollect that we had a court case necessarily pending while we were in legislative session either.
Representative Knobloch?
Mr. Chairman, I don't recall a court case contingency, but I do recall a number of times where we have sent out additional tax cuts or rebates or increased education funding subject to a forecast. For example, if the November forecast was showing a surplus of such and such, we'd have additional money going to education aid, additional money going to tax cuts. We did do that back in the 90s.
Any other questions for our Representative
Mr. Chair.
Representative.
Well, first of all,
Riccomino.
Representative Prinky, I mean, you know, you're a pretty good poker player, but please lay some cards out on the table for me tonight, if you would. Is this going to be our only tax bill, or do your intention to come back and have a tax bill? And this is just the rebate bill.
Representative Prinky.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Riccomino, it is my hope that we can pass this bill, and then we will start work in earnest. We've been a little delayed dealing with some sports issues, but that we will then come back and work in with due diligence in order to pass an omnibus tax bill. I know there are many members that have issues both of local concern and statewide concern that want us to pass a tax bill. We have numerous issues dealing with federal conformity. We have numerous issues that are dealing with property taxes that have been heard in the division. My intent would be to put together an omnibus tax bill and move that as quickly as possible through the process in the upcoming within probably 2 weeks.
Representative Riccomino.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, so then, I had an amendment because I was worried that this might be my only place to put this amendment, but I am trusting you then that we are going to have, you know, another place to look at issues of local concerns or statewide concerns. But then while I have you, Representative Prinky, you know, after the Republican plan for this property tax rebate came out here several weeks ago, there were editorials all over the state against this idea, and basically they were kind of lampooning you guys for wanting to put out, you know, they even mentioned Jesse checks, but, you know, these could be Crinky checks instead, and or Knobloch checks. I don't want to get involved in that whole deal, but you know, they're all around the state. The Winona Daily News, the Mesaba Daily News, surprise, the West Central Tribune, you know, the Timber Jay up in Ely and Tower, a good little weekly paper, the St. Cloud Times. Here's the West Central Tribune, and even in this one, I noticed that Representative Lanning's quoted in here. And Representative Lanning's quote is Representative Lanning here? No, he's over there. Okay. He says, well, the rebate proposal was presented as a House Republican plan. Representative Maury Lanning, Republican Moritz, said the House GOP members had never discussed it as a group. This is the first I've heard of it, Lanning said, after receiving a copy of the news release. I'm not real happy about reading about this in an email after it's been released. And a one-time rebate doesn't solve anything. Said Lanning. I have some real questions about it myself, said Lanning, who's a tax committee member. Representative Lanning, we haven't had a chance to agree on many things since you've come in here, but we agree on this. Representative Crinky, you know, all of these editorials from all around the state have said that we need more than a one-time gimmick for property tax relief, so is there going to be something in your bill then besides this proposal here, or what's going to happen for property tax relief, Representative Crinky?
Representative Crinky.
Well, certainly I think everyone sitting around this table knows that we had an education bill that was in committee, still is in committee, that deals with ongoing property tax reform, by reducing K-12 levies and putting in place additional state aid. I believe it was something over $250 million. So what we're talking about with this piece of legislation is doing an immediate property tax rebate, and certainly again, members, I think you all understand this is one-time money. This $317 million in the tax relief account is one-time money. So to increase local government aid, to try to reduce education levies, to in some way try to increase PTR, all of those things would require ongoing revenues of which we don't have a lot, because as Representative Lincheski just went through the list, where the additional monies that have flowed into the state coffers, the vast majority of that money has gone to restore the school aid shifts that were made in the last legislative session, or earlier in this legislative session. So we certainly, we're going to take all and every idea that people have with regard to property tax reform, but I think you've heard me say before, Representative Rukavina, I don't consider increasing local government aid as property tax reform. You can call it property tax relief. I don't consider it property tax reform. I have not seen a great number of pieces of legislation that have been introduced in the last 2 months, nor in the previous 12 months, that I would call true property tax reform legislation. So as I said, I think we have to, as we often debate around the table, what is property tax relief and what is property tax reform? And this, members, is property tax relief. It is only one-time relief to try to mitigate the impacts of property tax increases in 2006. And we can sit here for the next 3 hours, 3 days, 3 weeks, and talk about why property taxes have increased. And I still don't think we'd probably reach a conclusion. We'd still be debating it 3 weeks from now. So as I said, this is intended to do one thing and one thing only, and that is to give people one-time property tax relief. And beyond this bill, whatever this committee chooses to do in terms of property tax reform, that's fine with me.
Representative Hollis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Rukavina, you brought up some good points, and myself, like Representative Lanning, I was just absolutely shocked when I heard the plan that Chairman Krenke had and the Speaker, because I wasn't asked my opinion firsthand as to would this be a good idea or not. I was absolutely shocked that he would come up with an idea like this. But, you know, the more I thought about it, I think possibly that Chairman Krenke is a little ahead of the curve on this issue. And you know, I don't compliment him very often, but maybe once every 2-3 years I do. I really believe he's ahead of the curve. And would I like to have property tax relief and fix some LGA problems and stuff like that? Sure, I would. But with the amount of money that we have to work with, and we don't know for sure if we're going to have the money, what we can do is basically a temporary fix. Even if we wanted to reform property tax, it would be temporary. And although I love my cities, and City of Walker, City of Pine River, they do a fantastic job. But if you're going to hand money to the City of Walker and give them a little relief in local government aid, what I have learned in my few years here is that when the money touches several different government entities, it's a whole lot less money when it gets to the end. So I'm very much in favor of what Representative Krenke is trying to do. The money, after all, did come from the people that paid the taxes. This is the people's money. Sure, we could spend it. We could we could maybe build the Twin Stadium and Hennepin County be off the hook. Representative Lincheski, would that be a good idea? Take Hennepin County off the hook and use this money to build a stadium. But, we'd have to go back to Bloomington and go through all that again. But I'm going to support this tonight. And Representative Rukavina, you are right. We do need true property tax reform or property tax relief. But I think this is the best way to lower what people actually pay in property taxes by giving them some of it back. And I think this is the best way to do it in this day and age and at this time.
Representative Mark Ward.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I first have to say, Chairman Krenke, you would be very pleased with myself and others in this room who voted for the Game and Fish bill today with the Olson Amendment, that we took a taxpayer's pledge. Actually, it was the turbocharged taxpayer pledge, because there's no taxes or fees for 7 years if that amendment passes. So there's several of us around here that now are on board with you. But in regard to what I'm hearing on the...
Representative Markward, I'm delighted to hear that.
Yeah, we're...
Welcome to the small club.
Yes, just 7 years, no fees even. Just no taxes, no fees if that constitutional amendment passes. But at any rate, I do have to address the items on the property tax relief because I don't think property tax relief is a one-time flash-in-the-pan rebate. And if it was part of an overall approach, I mean, there's something else onto this that had some long-term property tax relief that would be a lot more acceptable. And one of the problems here is that when we talk about relief, there has to be pain. And what we're doing here with this is everyone gets 10% off their property tax bill. And yet we know, if you go back to 2003, even if you want to go back to 2001 where you had the benefits, that cities experience the brunt of the pain differently. And what I have seen here is that those cities that in fact suffered the most pain received the least amount of relief. And Mr. Chair, I've got a chart here. Could I pass that out? Is that something I'd like to...
Certainly.
Share with members.
You get a page, please.
And, I mean, I think there's a real fairness question to this. And I guess while they're passing that around, I'd like to ask one question. I'd like to come back to this. Is you've included all of the homestead properties except agricultural land. And that's about $147 million of property taxes, which means if that was included, it would provide farmers about $15 million of relief on this rebate. And I guess my question is, I know you counted the house, garage, and 1 acre, but why did you not include, because I think that's the only homestead classification that's not included.
Representative Kroenke.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Markwart, as in any proposal, there's a limited amount of dollars that we have in the tax relief account, and by even adding, by even trying to add agricultural land, I think the number you just mentioned was $15 million. Yeah. Is that correct? That would put us above the amount of money that we have in the tax relief account. That's my first response. So certainly, I think any of us would like to do some other classifications of property. But the second point is that, as Representative Rukavina asked earlier, whether we're going to work on passing a omnibus tax bill, And Representative Knobloch, the Chair of Ways and Means, is here, and he can talk about what our budget target is for this committee. But we need to, keep a little bit of money to try to accomplish some other things within the tax omnibus bill. So there are many, many ways you could structure this property tax rebate. You could make it 7%. You could make it 9%. You can come up with all sorts of consternations of how you do this, and the way that I put the legislation together is to try to make it simple, the simplest and the easiest and the most direct method to understand exactly what we're trying to accomplish, and that is a 10% rebate of your 2006. Taxes for homesteaded property, and include obviously the farm home, garage, and 1 acre. Again, would we like to do the ag lands? You bet. But there's a limited amount of dollars that's available in the tax relief account.
Representative Markford.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate that. When I, you know, it gets back to the fairness question again, because when I look at the House Research Simulation Report on Property Taxes given out in February of this year, one of the highest areas of classification of property that saw the highest increase was agricultural property at 11.7%. So, I mean, if you truly want this to qualify as some sort of a relief, it's not fair in many respects. Now, if I could indulge members just a moment to look at the chart. And this is, on the first one, what you have there is the percentage of your tax base that you were cut in LGA and or market value cuts for 2006. So what percent of your total tax base? It's kind of a pain index, if you will. And to read it and really get a grasp, in a Dyna, for example, where it says 0.6, if you were to replace your total loss, and that's all in market value credit cuts in 06, you would have to raise your taxes 0.6 of 1%. So Dyna would go from 24.09 to 24.69 to make up those dollars. If it's Egan, you'd have to add 1.6% to 28.19, go to 29.79. If you went to Breckenridge, for example, they're at 53.22 right now, they would have to up that 18.9% to make up for their LGA cuts from 2003. So they'd be all the way up to 72.12. So the higher the number, the greater the amount of the property tax increase that you would have to make that up. Now, on the next page, then, you'll see things run just the opposite. The city of Hitterdahl is going to get, on the average, $72 per homeowner, where, you know, someone in Deep Haven is going to have $697. And the problem with this, and you can say, well, we're taking 10% of your property tax. But the problem with this is you're taking a snapshot in time. You're not looking back to even 2001 or 2003 to see who benefited, who got cut, where have these cities come from to get to the point they are in 2006, where are they going after 2006. It's just kind of this snapshot. And if you're going to provide the relief, you know, you're insinuating there's equal amount of pain, and I don't know if anyone here at this table could argue that there's an equal amount of pain. And so I do think it's unfair to those cities that have experienced the most pain in the last 3 years. They seem to be getting a less proportion of the benefits than those who did not. And I guess, finally, the last point is on the renters. And, you know, if you look at statistics on that, a high percent, well, in a couple of counties I have, for example, Traverse County and Wilkin County, Traverse County, 59% of the renters who get a rebate, 59% are seniors or disabled. And in Wilkin County, it's 55%. So the more rural your counties become, typically the higher percent of senior citizens that you have, and they tend to be more of the renters in this situation than those. And so that's creating a concern also, in that a lot of the seniors are not going to be, and they're paying property taxes, you know, through the rent, and they're not going to receive this. So I guess, you know, this, Mr. Chair, was, or Representative Krinke, was part of an overall plan. It could be doable, but it's just this rebate, which just isn't fair. To me, it's not property tax relief, and it's not going to fix potholes in many of these cities that need to do that. So, but one thing I have to say, Representative Krinke, is that even though I disagree with you 90% of the time, you are a fixed star when it comes to fiscal conservatism. And that's why I sometimes worry when you mention LGA. I know you're not a fan of LGA. And I know that because of your stance, and I respect that. But and so I certainly respect your intentions on this, because I know, as a very fiscally conservative person, that's not going to waver. You're going to present plans like this, but I just don't think it's the way to go.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Krinke.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Marquardt, again, I totally understand that. When you look at property taxes across this state, there are so many variables from one community to the next you know, there's so many variables in the context of what your school levy is, what your city levy is, what county. Counties who vary in size from populations of less than 5,000 to counties with populations over a million. And we spent a considerable amount of time talking about the assessment of a local option sales tax on a certain county last week. And again, there are many, many people in this room that didn't feel that that was fair either. And the interaction between local option sales taxes, LGA, increasing property values. And I think that, you know, there's been a tremendous amount of discussion over the last 5 years about what happened in 2001. And there's been a lot of discussion about what was done with LGA reductions in 2003. I think all of us would like to go back and maybe redo or undo some of the things that were done in 2001, perhaps in 2003. But what are we going to do today? Again, we have $317 million in an account that was from the bottom line when we closed the books June 30th, 2005. I think, as Representative House said, maybe what we should have done is taken the $317 million and put it toward the construction of a twin stadium, when we wouldn't have to deal with the issue of a local option sales tax. That amendment didn't come up, but I think it's still open for debate tomorrow on the floor. But again, from every corner of the state, I'm sure that we have all heard about the double-digit increases on average throughout this state and with all of our constituents. So how do we respond to that? Two ways, as I said before. One is you can give them some temporary relief from the increase in property taxes. Two, hopefully we can do something to deal with the property tax reform over the next 2 years, 4 years, or 6 years. But part of that, Representative Marquardt, as we all understand, deals with spending restraint, whether it's at the state level, the county level, or the city level. If you want to keep down property taxes, then we have to have some additional spending restraint, or you have to have restraint on what programs we're going to mandate local units of government carry out. So as I have traveled around six counties in this state talking about what's going on at the federal level, you can't have tax relief without spending restraint.
Representative Abrams.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Marquardt, you know, I don't know what this Marquardt Pain Index is. Expect to see a half-minute commercial during a football game. I don't know if it's cumulative or how it was developed, and I'm certain that you'll share with me how it was put together at a later time without burdening everybody in the room. But, you know, when I see the city of Hitterdale, I apologize to the good people there. I kind of go back with my friends Representative Simpson and Representative Lanning and Representative Broad and Representative Lunchesky and the PACS working group last year, in which the House fought very hard for a fair distribution of that additional $45 million in local government aid. And it was a senator, and senators, BFL senators, particularly there was, I believe, Representative Lanning, that there was a senator from the North Country who voted against amendments that I had to help the small towns get more LGA. And, you know, it seems to me that, you know, part of the pain that Hitterdal is experiencing, no matter how you put it together, is due to the fact that the dollars just weren't distributed fairly in the additional $45 million. And, you know, I would point out to my good friend representative, my good friends on the committee, you know, I saw in the paper where Mayor Rybeck was, you know, denouncing the loss of local government aid. Well, you know, I have a little message for Mayor Rybeck. I asked House Research to show me the history of local government aid in the city of Minneapolis, and may surprise the press, and it may surprise everybody who was drinking the Kool-Aid that he brewed, but the city of Minneapolis is within $2 or $3 million of their high point in local government aid because of the infusion of local government aid for this year. So, you know, I think it's, you know, I understand that it's a political year, and, you know, Representative Krenke, I guess I would have preferred to do other things with the money than what you're doing here. You know, I put in a bill today to deal with one of the other shifts that went on, and that's the payment of the June sales tax. That's a one-time money that you may want to take a look at down the road, Representative Krenke, as you're trying to go forward. But, you know, to simply blame the 2001 reforms in which it was more than just the transit levy, Representative Rucavina. You know, there was a lot of other things going on. Or to blame the local government aid cuts in 2003 for, you know, all the problems that everybody supposedly has without taking a look at the whole picture here, I really think is a little bit unfair. So, you know, take that as you will. And, you know, if we do have a tax conference committee, I think that the former conferees are willing to do battle again for Greater Minnesota and for smaller communities along Greater Minnesota in order to take the money that went to local government aid last year and make sure it was fairly distributed, because it certainly wasn't fairly distributed last year, Representative Marquardt.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Representative Marquardt.
Thank you very much, and I'm certainly not going to debate tax policy with Representative Abrams, but part of the... But to say that Hitterdahl's woes are because of what happened last year is not correct. I mean, you know, we all know what happened with that formula. It was because it was capped out. Once everything does work out its way, it will ultimately in full formula get out there. But the bottom line still is that we're $102 million down from what we were in certified 2003. I mean, that it's still the cuts that were made. And if you were to take that 587 that we had in 2003 and add the implicit price deflator, rural Minnesota is actually down about $100 million a year. So certainly Hitterdahl did not maybe get as much as they could or will ultimately get, but much of their problems are caused because of we're $102 million down right now and about $100 million down just for rural Minnesota if you were not have to cut the 587 and had continued with the implicit price deflator on that.
Mr. Chairman, just a very brief rejoinder. The House position in the conference committee was twofold, Representative Marquardt. First, it was the cap issue as far as how the dollars flowed. But second, Representative Simpson prevailed upon, and I thought it was a pretty good idea, I think all the conference thought it was a good idea, for more relief for the small cities. So it wasn't just the cap issue that was stopped by the DFL Senate. It was also some small city relief, too.
I know this, Chair.
Representative Marquardt?
Yeah. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. There was some small city relief that did wind up getting in that bill.
Right.
That's correct.
We ended up accepting $6 per capita, and we tried to get 10, and that's where it ended up. So, Representative Riccovino.
Well, Mr. Chair and Representative Abrams, you know, first of all, maybe I've got, you know, higher range Alzheimer's, I'm forgetting everything but the grudges. But, you know, I do not recall the House tax bill having any money for local government aid. And you might have fought in conference committee for the money that the Senate put in to fix the local government aid problem. But I know, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think there was any local government aid relief in the House tax bill last year. And, you know, I don't want to turn this into an LGA tax, LGA argument, Representative Krinke. But, yes, it is too late. But, Representative Abrams, and you've been a prince of a guy. You are a nice guy. I don't agree with you on certain things. I don't agree with you on tax policy, but you are a decent human being. And I don't say that very often about Republicans. So, you know, I hate to lay this out on the line. Yeah, even most Democrats, I don't say that about.
But and never a lawyer.
Let's look at, and I asked House Research for this. And so, give me the cumulative LGA loss since 2003 certified amount. Cumulatively, in 2006, it's up to $523,711,000. Okay, then we go to a cumulative loss to aids to counties in 2003 certified amounts. We're up to $219 million. And the cumulative tax increase compared to 2003 to where we're at today, we're up $2,220 million. So, if this is going to help fix the problem that you folks made, then it's a drop in the bucket. It's a needle in a haystack. But I'll tell you what. Be that as it may, we won't say this is political. So, Mr. Chair, if I could make an amendment, since we're taking, can I make an oral amendment here? On line 1.9, after B, can we delete honor before October 1st, 2006 and put after November 8th, 2006, but before December 25th. So, 2006. So, at least we're not hypocritical like all of these editorials from every corner of the state are saying we're hypocrites. Let's wait till after the election and give people a Christmas present. Would you accept that as a friendly amendment, Representative Krinke?
Representative Krinke.
Thank you.
And Hanukkah present, too. I mean, I don't... This is like those Passover eggs you found in that pill last night.
Mr. Chairman, that's the problem with Passover. We're a little bit heavy on eggs
Mr. Chair, Representative Krinke, is that a friendly amendment?
Representative Krinke.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Rukavina, no.
I'm shocked.
Now, Representative Rukavina, let me assure you that these checks will not have Representative Knobloch or Representative Krinke's pictures on them. But
HRCC?
DFL.
I think we passed them.
Spell that one out.
Let me try to reassure you. It may not work, but I think there are going to be both Democrats and Republicans on the ballot in November. And I don't know that, based on my past experience, that number one, most of the citizens of the state know the difference between House, Senate, and even Congress. So the idea that people are going to equate that this check came from the Republican member, the Democrat member, or any of our challengers in the election, I think is a little over the top, because I don't think they really equate who we are and what we do down here with whether they're going to get a check or not. But the point of putting the payment of the check by on or before October 1st is because we all know that when all of these people across the state have to make this second half payment of their 2006 property taxes is October 15th. So if we're really talking about trying to do property tax relief, then why would we want them to get a check a month or 2 months after they have to make the payment? Now, maybe for my constituents, it isn't going to make any difference. But Representative Rukavina, I think for some of these people across the state, that maybe an $85 check, maybe a $155 check will make a difference in helping them pay their 2006 property tax.
Well, Mr. Chair, if I could just reiterate, you know, these facts that I just said, this does nothing to solve the problem. It is unfair, as Representative Marquardt has pointed out, to say that people aren't going to equate this with, you know, their politicians is one thing, is something I don't agree with you, because Jesse checks became Jesse checks, and these might become Palente checks. And speaking of Governor Palente, I bought a half gallon of milk today, and his picture was on it. Where is the governor been? You know, is he hiding, or what's the problem?
Somebody's helping you.
Yeah.
We're a little slow.
And, you know, is he going to get credit? Are you going to get credit? Am I going to get credit? I don't know, but, you know, the bottom line is this. We have a mess. Property taxes are escalating. These are House research figures at $2.2 billion. This does very little to solve the problem, Representative Franke, and actually puts the money in the pockets of people that got considerable tax relief, be it income tax relief or property tax relief, and just gives them a huge check. And the rest of our constituents, especially out in the hinterland, Representative House, are going to get very little.
Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I remember, they always put missing persons on the milk cartons. Ms. Baker?
Thanks for finally getting my joke. Kurt, thank you.
Aren't the market value credits paid to individuals rather than in cities?
Ms. Baker.
What? Well, that's what they were.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Earhart, the amount of market value credit is determined on each of the parcels. So right. When they pay their net property taxes, that's already been adjusted.
Right.
We'll leave it at that.
So in effect, Ms. Baker, that's paid to the individuals rather than the cities. There actually were cities were complaining that they should send a check directly to the. My point is, on Edina, you know, we don't get any local government aid, and the market value credit was around $600,000 when they started this, and they took that away. I don't know what the 6% or 6% of nothing is nothing, as far as I can see.
Bingo.
And then we've got this rebate on the second. Must mean that average property taxes, I assume, are $720, and due payments are $6,970. So I suppose if you figure 10% on $6,970, you're going to come up with $697, or 10% of $720 is $72. So I don't know what the argument on that page is.
Representative Vandeveer.
I'll pass, Mr. Chair.
Any other question? Representative Lincheski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question, looking at the run for the projected tax increases across the state of Minnesota, the statewide average is projected to be 10.5%. on the typical home in Minnesota. Greater Minnesota, 9.5, Metro, 10.9, and then there's all kinds of breakdowns. Certain parts of the state, like Northwest towns, are 13.9%. So I think, you know, we all recognize there's huge projected tax increases. So I'm trying to think through exactly how this rebate would work, Representative Franke. So I've got a typical, I guess, maybe not typical to all, but a Payo 5 tax on a house at $2,000. Okay, so with your bill, let's say in Payo 6, they're supposed to pay the 10.5%. That's projected. Just take a statewide average. So they should pay $2,210. So now your rebate is going to step in, and you're going to give them $220 of that back. Right? 10%, am I tracking so far? So they're going to end up paying $1,990. So now when we go to Payo 7, you know, the tax hasn't been reduced. They're going to go another 10.5% to pay $2,430 as opposed to the $1,990, and they're actually going to see a 22% increase in Payo 7. And unless you dispute that, I mean, the point I'm trying to make here is you are definitely providing one-time relief, but there's no long-term solution to the problem. There's nothing to in here to reform anything. It's based on a court case, and I just would ask you, do you disagree that basically the effect with of the rebate is you're still going to see people go up and pay a 22% on average in the state tax increase and pay 07%?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Lucheski, first, I don't dispute what you're saying. As I said from the outset, this is relief. It is not ongoing property tax reduction. Second, we Representative Sikora brought the K-12 education bill to the committee. That provided some, as I said, my recollection, $250 million of permanent property tax reductions going forward in Pay 07. So what happens in Pay 07, Pay 08 is going to be dependent upon what this committee and what the legislature agrees to do in the out years. This, again, is for all of us who have heard in phone calls, letters, emails, town meetings, legislative surveys about that 10.5% increase statewide. Again, there are other things that can be done with one-time money. Representative Abrams mentioned June Accelerated. There are many things that we could find, I think, to do with $317 million, but at least from what I've heard from members of this committee, members of the House, across the board, is that if not the top priority for this legislative session, one of the top three priorities, property tax relief.
Chairman. Representative Abrams.
Chairman, I'll dispute it, Representative Lucheski. I don't know if House Research has the Pay 2007 values in. I would suspect not, but I had a conversation with the Hennepin County Assessor, who tells me that that some of the shift that has occurred, because home values have been increasing at a greater rate than commercial industrial because of business conditions, has reversed. In that for Pay 2007 in Hennepin County, and again, I can't speak for the rest of the state, what I understand is that home values are not going up as much as they have in the past, but that business values, CI values, are going up in excess of 10%. So you're going to have that phenomenon being different than it was in the past year or two. And secondly, we don't know what local units of government are going to do. And part of the reform in 2001, for better or for worse, one of the reforms that I disagree with Representative Krenke on, that was part of the bedrock, was not to have levy limits. Okay? And it was that it was going to be a local tax and they were going to take responsibility. Well, you know, I could tell you that at least in my city of Minnetonka, I was shocked, and I have, and you know, they have since recanted, but after a couple mailings citywide, in which the pension bill that we all voted for, in which we solved part of the PERA problem for our public employees, which called for a greater employer contribution that all the local units of government testified in favor of, that the city of Minnetonka, in two mailings citywide, called that a new state mandate and went accordingly. So, you know, hopefully city councils and county boards will take into account some of the concerns that taxpayers have about their escalating home property taxes, and will take that into account as well. But I think it's too early, Representative Lucheski, to say that somebody who paid $2,000 in 2006 in 2005 is going to be spending $2,400 in 2007. We just don't know that yet.
Representative Lucheski.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. In response to that, I think that's right, and I hope that's true, but that would be maybe instead of a 22% tax increase, it might be 15%, and it it probably would be significantly higher for communities that don't have commercial industrial base to spread their levies on anyhow, and a lot of the state is in that situation. But I just wanted to ask Representative Krenke, did you just announce that Representative Sikora's K-12 bill is dead? I'm trying to understand. You said there was $250 million of relief, and the Bernardi amendments that added $116 million paid for with foreign operating corporations was added to that bill, and it hasn't come back yet. But can you provide some insight to us, because we think there's $336 million of relief in Representative Sikora's bill right now.
Representative Krenke.
I think if you listen to the source of most of my information about what's going on in the legislative process, my friend Eric Escala, nothing's ever dead until legislative session is over.
Representative Krenke, did you have anyone who wanted to testify in favor of your bill?
No, Mr. Chairman, I just renew my motion, House File 4142, as amended, is recommended to pass and re-refer to the Committee on Ways and Means. And, Mr. Chair, I would request a roll call vote.
Okay, before we do the roll call, is there anybody in the audience who would like to testify for or against House File 4142?
Yeah.
Mr. Chair.
Please introduce yourself for the tape and give us your testimony.
My name is Ken Rowe, and I work for Hennepin County. I represent the county on property tax administrative issues. I had three pages of concerns when I came in, but through the good work of Representative Krenke and staff, the A-12 amendment pretty much handled everything I had to say. I just have one technical concern that could come up. Homestead corrections occur throughout the spring and the summers, and they can actually extend into the following year for clerical errors and that sort of thing. And the bill doesn't address whether there's a deadline as to which homestead must qualify and still be able to receive the rebate. And that's the only issue I had. Thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you. We do happen to have a couple amendments at the desk.
Third reading. Bueller? Bueller? FOC?
Did somebody get off?
Right.
No, wait, Mr. Chair. I don't know. Are we offering amendments? Because I just as soon see you lemmings jump off the cliff. Yeah. Mr. Chair, if I could.
Representative Cavino.
Well, our caucus decides how organized we are, whether we're going to offer the amendment. I'm just going to go through some of these editorials, Representative Krenke, for you. So, and to the gentleman from Hennepin, don't worry. This proposal's not going anywhere, so you don't have anything to worry about getting these checks out. But the, the St. Cloud Times, here's what they had to say about your plan, Representative Krenke. Mostly, though, the House plan is only a one-time payoff that doesn't likely change the spiraling levies of local government nor help stabilize the state's endless fiscal challenges. Is this really what Minnesota needs? Well, the Senate plan may not be perfect. At least it looks farther ahead than just November.
So that's the St. Cloud Oblock checks in that one?
Yes. They don't want it. The West Central Tribune. House Republicans Monday trotted out a one-trick pony idea, a property tax rebate proposal that they don't even know if the state will have enough money to pay for. The checks would arrive just before homeowners would have to make their October 15th payment, but also just weeks before November 7th. Everybody's in every of these editorials, it says the reality is this property tax proposal is strictly a political ploy. So, I mean, everybody around the state, and then we have Representative Lanny, who I'm curious to see how he's going to vote after he said, I have some real questions about it myself, and a one-time rebate doesn't solve everything. But, Representative Lanny, please, for once, let's you and I be on the same page here. And I agree with you. So, lemmings, go ahead, jump off the cliff with Representative Krenke and... Yeah. Now do we have our amendment ready?
Thank you, Representative Riccovino, for that editorial. And now that you have your act together, we'll just roll on to the A11 amendment.
They leak.
As this is being passed out, is there anybody that's proud enough to claim it? Or
Mr. Chair, this is my re-election amendment.
So Representative Devane.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. As Chair Krenke said, the purpose of the bill is to get the money back to the people who paid it, and this just assures that all the people who paid property taxes on residential property get a rebate back by including renters. It does that by capping the homestead refund at $500 and that freeing up $15 million, which is then appropriated out to renters. As I said, it assures that all residential property taxpayers receive a rebate. With that, Mr. Chair?
Would you like to move this?
Oh.
To see if we would act on it? Or
that would be good.
Okay.
Thank you. I'd like to move the A11 amendment for the committee.
Representative Dabney moves the A11 amendment. Representative Krenke for the A11 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, I think we had ample amount of discussion during the tax committee last year about what the current situation of renter's credit is with regard to property taxes. I believe the current level, 19% renter's credit, is somewhere between Department of Revenue's calculations last year, probably 5 to 6% above what actual rent paid is. So the reason that I didn't include renters in my original legislation was because of the information that we had from the Department of Revenue with regard to rent credit with relationship to property taxes from last year. And I have received no information from the Department of Revenue that anything has substantially changed from their calculations of last year. But I'm sure there's someone here from the department that could give us some additional information if we needed it. So I would oppose the A11 amendment.
Mr. Chair, Representative Dabney, can you tell me what 10% of the property tax refund would be for the average renter?
Mr. Chair.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Representative Dabney.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Knobloch. The amendment as written uses the existing renter's credit program as its structure. Same caps and income caps and that sort of thing for the distribution.
Yes, but Mr. Chairman, Representative Dabney, then what is the average renter's credit or property tax refund that a renter gets in this state?
Representative Dabney.
For the average renter, thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Knobloch, it would be about $50. Now, Representative Krenke has a sharp memory in terms of at least one study examination of the difference between rent paid and what percentage that might be of property taxes. Of course, it would vary individually, parcel by parcel, but the point of fact is property taxes are going up across the state. Renters pay property taxes. If the point is to get property tax relief out to people who pay property taxes, then we should get property tax relief out to people who pay property taxes.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm just trying to get a sense for how much money the renters are going to be getting. So are you saying the average renter right now gets a check from the state of $500? And they would thus get $50 underneath this bill? Or are you saying the average renter gets a check right now for $50 and they would get $5 under this bill?
$500. Thank you. Mr. Representative Knobloch, you assume correctly. Using the Minnesota Data Book for Legislators with a 2003 date, if I'm reading the table correctly, The average refund at that time was $498 per renter, and someone was good enough to hand me another document here that makes it appear that the statewide average is about $503 for all recipients of renter's credit. That would include, of course, seniors and the disabled. And you'll recall the discussion from last year about the, particularly in rural Minnesota, the significant portion of elderly and disabled who make up the population of people who rent.
All right. Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess right now it appears to me that if you listen to what we heard last year, about one-third of the $500 is actually not really property tax relief, but a simple subsidy to renters. So we're already subsidizing renters to the tune of about $170 per renter on average. This would simply increase that subsidy by another $50.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? If not,
Mr. Chair?
Representative Dabney.
I'd ask for a roll call.
Okay. Representative Lancheski, roll call's been called.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I have to take exception to calling property tax relief for renters a subsidy and not saying that it's a subsidy then for homeowners as well. 1.5 million homeowners received property tax relief in this proposal. This adds the 500,000 filers who are living in units they do not own, who do pay property tax, and it's based on the property tax refund, so there are renters who do not qualify for the property tax refund. These are the folks who actually qualify, and they would be treated similar to how Representative Krenke is treating homeowners, which is they would get a 10% rebate. So I just disagree with you that it's a subsidy to someone who lives in an apartment, and it's relief to someone who lives in a home.
Well, Mr. Chair, if I can, Representative Winchester, let me make clear that I'm not saying all of it's a subsidy, but we had testimony last year from the department that while we assume that the number is 19% for our purposes, it's in reality only 12 or 13%. So I guess what I'm saying is that the 12 to 13% number is clearly not a subsidy in terms of the taxes that you're getting back as a rebate, but the other difference between the 19% and 12 or 13% is. That is a subsidy that is unconnected with the property tax portion of the rent that is actually paid.
The clerk will take the roll. Chair votes no.
Representative Krenke?
No.
Representative Abrams?
No.
Representative Anderson? Representative Atkins?
Aye.
Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Representative Brad?
No.
Representative Davids?
No.
Representative Dabney?
Aye.
Representative De La Force?
No.
Representative Dill?
Yes.
Representative Dorman? Representative Earhart? Representative House?
No.
Representative Yarrows?
Aye.
Representative Knobloch?
No.
Representative Coonan?
Aye.
Representative Coles?
No.
Representative Lanning?
No.
Representative Lancheski?
Yes.
Representative Lush?
Aye.
Representative Marquardt?
Yes.
Representative Morey?
Aye.
Representative Nelson?
No.
Representative Riccovino?
Yes.
No, you're on this side.
Representative Steven?
Aye.
Representative Vandeveer?
You're no.
No.
Representative Westerberg?
No.
Representative Zellers?
Nope.
Representative Earhart?
No.
Um,
The amendment failed on a 15-12 vote. To the bill, Representative Krenke.
Again, Mr. Chairman, I believe that this is the most, is the simplest, most direct way to help people pay their 2006 property taxes with a $307 million of property tax relief.
Thank you, Mr. Representative Krenke. I guess we're going to try again. Representative Lincheski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. While that amendment is being passed out, you know, Chairman Krenke and maybe Representative Knobloch, hate to put you two together here, but I just have a question. You know, if you use up the $317 in the property tax relief account right now, Chairman Krenke, that leaves $88 million in the budget resolution that was passed in the House. So this takes care of the $317 that's spent and gone, if what you do here passes, and then we're left with $88 million. So is the effect for tax committee members that all the other kinds of tax relief we were looking at, dairy credit, standard deduction, other federal conformity issue, things for veterans, the governor's immigration credit, all those kind of things, if this passes, those are all off the table then for the rest of the year, or will we be taking time to spend time to look at other revenue sources to fund many of the initiatives that we've had put forward by the governor?
Well,
Representative Lincheski, I'm glad to know that you're so supportive of all the governor's tax initiatives, but I think the bottom line is that this would take 307 of the $317 million in the tax relief account and would leave us with about $10 million to address other tax relief issues for the rest of this biennium. Obviously, if there are other bills, other legislation dealing with the next biennium, certainly we can, I think we have about $1 million on the bottom line in the next biennium, which we could work on whittling that down to lower taxes for all Minnesotans.
Mm-hmm. Representative Mullery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move the A-10 amendment.
Representative Mullery moves the A-10 amendment. Would you like to explain this fine piece of legislation?
And Mr. Chairman, this is a very fine piece of legislation. Basically, what it would do would be it looks at Representative Krenke's 10%, but it would cap it at 400, and then there's a reduction of $1 for each $2.50 of property tax over 4,000, and then the balance of the funds it would put into the PTR program with 25% increase for people that file PTRs. Pretty simple.
Representative Krenke.
Well, Mr. Chairman, members, once again, I think that there's a lot of debate about and a lot of rhetoric about property tax increases, but then all of a sudden, when it comes to property tax relief, we want to limit the tax relief to those people who are paying it. And as we've heard in this committee many, many times, property taxes are not necessarily based on your ability to pay. So just because someone is paying $2,000 in property taxes doesn't equate that they have the income capable or income levels that would mean that they have the cash flow to pay them. So increases in property values fall across the board. And just to say all of a sudden now that, gee, we don't care about those people who are paying the property taxes of perhaps higher amounts, all of a sudden we want to redistribute the relief. So this amendment is very similar to the A-11 amendment. I would hope members would vote against it.
Representative
Representative Vandeveer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think we remember from a lot of testimony we had in committee that the property tax isn't really related to income, and so you're not really sure what you're doing or who you're going after with this amendment. So I think it's probably a bad one.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Representative Rivina.
Mr. Chair, you know, in the past we've limited, and I guess we were in control then, so maybe that's the reason why, but we've limited and had some kind of a means test on property tax rebates. Now, our circuit breaker tries to have a means test on property tax rebates. And, you know, Representative Krinke, whether this bill moves or not, I don't know what Representative Knobloch's intention is to give you any recognition before 2 weekends from now or not. But, you know, if he does, maybe you could work on something that at least moves in the spirit of what Representative Mullery is trying to do here, because the fact of the matter is that some very wealthy people in this state, and I don't have my legislative agenda in my pocket because I brought it to the DFL endorsing convention this weekend with my 55 people that have an adjusted gross income, Representative Abrams, of $1.702 billion, one of whom might even actually be getting some help, business help here with a bill that's passed around a couple of nights this week.
Yeah, with your vote, Representative.
Yes, I know that. I know that. But I didn't give them the income tax cuts. And income taxes are the Paris taxes. And when you folks give rebates, though, if I recall, my memory serves me correctly, you wanted to give an income tax rebate with the Jesse checks, but you don't want to tax people based on income, but you love to give them rebates based on income. We went along, we came up with that sales tax rebate idea, and if I recall correctly, 450,000 senior citizens, I would have got zero Jesse check back, for lack of a better word, ended up getting a little bit of money. I think that's the type of fair formula we should try to find for your rebate if it does move forward, Representative Krinke, and maybe you could think between now and the floor some type of formula that does have a circuit breaker type thing attached to it. Representative Abrams knows our tax system backward and forward. I'm sure he could give you some input on it, and I think he might even maybe have a little inkling of supporting me on something like this. But perhaps I'm just wishful thinking on my part.
Representative Abrams.
Well, Mr. Chairman, trying to help the squirrels find the acorns, but one of the reasons that the House went with income tax, and while at the end of the day we didn't find the sales tax objectionable, is that those are state taxes which contributed to the surplus. And as far as I know, homeowners don't pay state property taxes. So, you know, I'm not going to give you any more hints, Representative Rukavina, but you may want to consider what I just said.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Representative Rukavina.
To that end, then, Mr. Chair and Representative Abrams, perhaps since all of this hinges on the tobacco tax settlement, we should give a smoker's check to the people of this state.
So moved.
Representative Hose, would you like to move that?
Representative Lincheski.
Thank you, Chairman Simpson. I'm just trying to think through this amendment, and I honestly don't know why you wouldn't support this, the majority of you. I think that Representative Earhart and Representative Abrams and maybe Representative Zellers and some constituents I have, you know, I can understand maybe thinking about not supporting it, but in general, the majority of the homeowners in the state of Minnesota don't pay $5,000 in property tax. And what this amendment does is says if you pay less than $5,000 in property tax, now think long and hard about your constituents now, what do they pay in property tax? you'll get more if you vote for this amendment. Your homeowners will get a larger check if you vote for this amendment. Now, if your homeowners on average pay more than $5,000 a year in property tax, they won't. So I think you need to understand the gist of this amendment here, and it's really providing relief to Minnesotans who pay less than $5,000 a year in property tax.
Representative Benninger.
Mr. Chair, Representative Lynchewski, why don't we just send this over to the Senate? They're very good at giving tax rebates to people that don't pay taxes, and then somehow in between this will work, you know, come in where maybe closer to what you'd like to see.
Well, Mr. Chair, I can't speak for what the Senate's doing, but, you know, what I would say is this is, you know, Representative Krenke is asking us to put this bill forward to give relief back, and I think Representative Rukavina is right on in saying that, you know, when you have some money to do something with, if you return it in a very regressive way, which is what the Krenke rebate checks here will do, on net, it makes the tax system more regressive because you're returning it not based on ability to pay, based on property. That's what it's being based on. It should probably be done differently, this, if you wanted to make the system more progressive, but it's actually going to make our Minnesota tax system slightly more regressive if we go ahead and do these rebate checks. I'm just saying for those of you whose average constituent pays less than $5,000 a year in property taxes on their home, this amendment will provide them even more money. So I hope you can support the Mueller Amendment.
Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Actually, I'm shocked to hear that most people don't pay at least $5,000 in property taxes. Representative Krenke, is there anything we can do about that?
Oh, you've all been trying very hard.
Representative Krenke, do you have any...
I always consider progressivity or regressivity with regard to taxes by the size of the check that I'm sending in, not by what the standards are that are applied here in the legislature. So again, you know, it's always interesting that people want to somehow tweak the system, change it so that certain people pay more and other people pay less. Again, we're talking about an average that I believe the property taxes in St. Paul increased on average 17%. Being someone who has commercial industrial property in the city of St. Paul, this bill would send back zero to the property I own in the city of St. Paul. So, again, members, we can tweak this and we can work on all sorts of formulas by which to somehow redistribute dollars to certain people and not have money go back to other people. When we started last year as the new chair of the tax committee, if you remember, I had the Department of Revenue, we had the Minnesota Taxpayers Association come in and talk to us about taxation. And one of the simple rules of taxation that they talked about was transparency. Can people understand what's going on? What this bill does is it helps Minnesota property taxpayers understand what's going on. I guarantee you they won't understand the Mueller Amendment. Because I can hardly understand it.
Well, Mr. Chair.
I understand it, Joe.
Representative Mullery.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And they'll understand the dollars that they get back as being more than they would under Representative Krenke, except for the people that have starter castles. I wanted to comment with regard to Representative Vandiver, which he said, made a comment that we should be against this because property taxes aren't related to income, but this does take into account income and the burden that's placed on a person, and this actually tries to help based on their income. And, Mr. Chairman, I would want a roll call on this.
Roll call has been requested. Clerk will take the roll. Yeah. Chair votes no.
Representative Krinke?
No.
Representative Abrams?
No.
Representative Anderson? Representative Atkins?
Aye.
Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Representative Brad?
No.
Representative Davids?
No.
Representative Daphne?
Aye.
Representative De La Forest?
No.
Representative Dill?
Aye.
Representative Dorman? Representative Earhart?
No.
Representative House?
No.
Representative Yarrows?
Aye.
Representative Knobloch?
No.
Representative Kuhnman?
Aye.
Representative Coles?
No.
Representative Lanning?
No.
Representative Lanchesky?
Yes.
Representative Lesh?
Aye.
Representative Marquardt?
Yes.
Representative Mullery?
Aye.
Representative Nelson?
No.
Representative Rukavina?
Aye.
Representative Sieben?
Aye.
Representative Vandeveer?
No.
Representative Westerberg?
No.
Representative Zellers?
The A10 fails 15 to 12. Closing comments, Representative Knobloch.
Well, just in response to Representative Rukavina and Representative Lincheski's previous comments, I just want to say that as chair of the Ways and Means Committee, I fully support the motion to send this bill to the Ways and Means Committee.
All right, a motion is to move it to the Ways and Means Committee after the vote.
Mr. Chair, I've requested a roll call vote, and again, I think this is a, well, there may be some glitches in terms of how we're trying to return these dollars in order for people to pay their 2006 property taxes. I think on balance, it's a fair, simple, and easy method for all property taxpayers in the state to understand, and I think that regardless of party affiliation, I think that the vast majority of Minnesotans will appreciate getting this check.
Roll call.
Representative Krinke.
Aye.
Representative Abrams.
Yes.
Representative Anderson. Representative Atkins.
Aye.
Representative Bernardi.
No.
Representative Brad.
Yes.
Representative Davids.
Yes.
Representative Dabney?
Nope.
Representative De La Forest?
Yes.
Representative Dill?
Nope.
Representative Dorman? Representative Earhart?
Yes.
Representative House?
Yes.
Representative Yarrows?
No.
Representative Knobloch?
Yes.
Representative Kuhnman?
No.
Representative Cole?
Aye.
Representative Lanning?
Aye.
Representative Lincheski?
No.
Representative Lesh?
No.
Representative Marquardt?
No.
Representative Mullery?
No.
Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Representative Rukavina?
No.
Representative Sieben?
No.
Representative Simpson?
Yes.
Representative Vandeveer? Representative Westerberg?
Yes.
Representative Sellers?
Yes. 15-11.
Representative Vandeveer.
Yes.
The Mallory Amendment.
You said it was based on
be bipartisan. Yeah. Smart guy.
House File 4142 passes 16-11 and is moving on to the Ways and Means Committee. Anything else this evening for the good of
things? Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members.
We're adjourned.